couple of weeks off and celebrating a birthday. Joe McKinnon joins us for Talking Horses. Joe, how was your time off?
Good morning, Warren. I had a lovely time away. We tried our hand at sailing through the Whitsunday.
Oh, how'd you enjoy that?
Yes. without sounding ungrateful, it was a magnificent way to see the Whitsunday, but the weather turned pretty foul for the last half of the trip, which meant facing some pretty treacherous seas on one occasion. Not really my cup of tea, that.
Oh, well, at least you've survived to tell the tale, Joe, and you're around to take in what was an outstanding day's racing, particularly at Randwick yesterday.
Wasn't it an amazing day? Often is, but yesterday was another level again, wasn't it? So many talking points for you on the show and me this morning, but, well, you've covered it off with James Cummings and Godolphin and their dominance of the majors yesterday. Jamie Carr, her ride in the Doncaster Handicap, extraordinary. She continues to rise as a star of the jockey ranks here in Australia. And overnight, of course, Warren, we saw another female rider creating her own piece of history, winning the Grand National, becoming the first to do so.
Yeah, Rachel Blackmore, who dominated the Cheltenham Festival recently. I think she was the rider of the carnival there. So a piece of history there, no doubt. And Jubbs fans around the world would have been thrilled with that performance and that piece of history. And, gee, on a day where we've talked about the performances of Cascadian and obviously Animo was devastating winning the sires, it just goes to show you the overall quality of the day that, you know, sitting there sharing some billing in that top rank was the performance of Nature Strip, who I think we saw back to his brutal best yesterday.
Brutal being the right word there, Warren. It was absolutely stunning performance by the chestnut son of Nikoni to make it back-to-back wins in the Group 1 ATC TJ Smith Stakes. And he's now racked up $8 million in prize money earnings.
Yeah. Into the straight now, and Eduardo is the leader from Nature Strip, and they're broken clear from the rest, but Nature Strip moved up, put paid to Eduardo at this point, and Nature Strip draws a length and a half, two lengths clear from Eduardo, a gap back to Masked Crusader, but Nature Strip goes back to back in the TJ, and this is an annihilation. Masked Crusader got up to run second in front of Eduardo, Zatori third, fourth, followed then by Bivouac.
Well, Joey was devastating yesterday, and the start before, he was only beaten narrowly at track record time, and that was following the win in the Lightning. So he's back in his brilliant best form this preparation, and his overall form says that he's one of the best sprinters we've seen in the modern era.
And that performance yesterday pushed his regular rider, James McDonald, to say after the race, "I wouldn't mind a little trip to Ascot." So that is the burning question. We've discussed that on the show a while back with his managing part owner, Rod Lyons, and he's kind enough to join us this morning on the program. Good morning, Rod. How are you after what would no doubt have been a great night of celebration?
Might have even been better than some had expected, Joe. We'll have to see if we can get Rod. I know he does like a scotch and he does enjoy a celebration, and there was plenty of Nature Strip's performance yesterday that would have justified a celebration. We'll check again, Joe, see if you can track Rod down now.
Are you there, Rod?
I think we're just going to have to try and get Rod back on the line, Joe. As you said, just an amazing performance of Nature Strip, and there's been a lot of talk about how effective he has been at times down the straight, and a trip to the UK for Royal Ascot, and maybe this year it'll be a little bit easier to implement than it would have been in the last year or so. So hopefully we can get Rod back on the line soon and talk about his performance. But overall, Joe, how did you see the TJ?
Yeah, it was all about Nature Strip, wasn't it? And I can assure you Rod is up and about this morning. I've had a couple of conversations with him prior to an attempt to join on air, so some technical issues there.
Let's see if we can get Rod back on the line now. Rod, good morning to you, Joe and Warren here. What a great performance from Nature Strip yesterday.
G'day, Warren, Joe. Sorry about that. Yeah, I'm back on air, and it was a fantastic performance, wasn't it? It was breathtaking. It was just sent shivers up your spine. It was great to watch.
Yeah, I bet it was for you especially, Rod, and the other owners. Reportedly, the horse couldn't have worked any better on Tuesday morning in particular, and James McDonald said that he's preparation has more or less been faultless this time in.
Look, Chris is very, very conservative, as we know, and so is James to a large degree. They tell you how it's going pretty straight, but their enthusiasm early in the week and right through the week was amazing. I mean, they weren't saying much publicly, but they were very, very confident that he was back to his brilliant best, which we saw on Saturday.
Yes, and going back-to-back in the TJ Smith Stakes, no mean feat.
Oh, look, I think it's wonderful, and as you say, endorses what a great sprinter he is. You know, much maligned, and I don't know why. Horses had 30 starts and won 16 races and 6 Group 1s and five seconds and only been out of the first four four times. He's a very consistent horse who does all the bullocking work, does all the hard work, races on the speed. I really don't think he's acknowledged for what a great, great sprinter he is.
And assuming you were there yesterday, Rod, the journey with the horse in recent times with COVID restricting owner access to race courses must have been a nice change.
Well, I couldn't go yesterday, Joe and Warren, because I've got some issues at home. My mother-in-law is very ill, and our dog that we've had for one of our dogs, it's very ill as well. And I couldn't, it's that crucial, but you know, anything can happen at any moment. I couldn't leave my wife overnight or something like that in case something did happen. So I couldn't go, so I did watch it at home. So that's another one that I've missed. Last year was COVID, and this year was pretty serious family issue. But it still put a big smile on my face and gave me a bit of kick along, considering the circumstances we are in at home.
I'm sorry to hear that, Rod, and let's hope everything will be okay. Perhaps then, moving on to other races, what would be the likely path for him beyond yesterday, going into the next couple of months?
Well, again, speaking to Chris last week, and I spoke to him briefly after the race, and he said, I'll ring you on Monday to let the dust settle. But before the race yesterday, the plan was to go into Queensland for the Doomden 10,000 and then spell him up in Queensland, because he's such a great steward. And last year, he didn't come back in great form to the spring. And Chris attributed a lot of that to the big, long break he had. Like, you know, he finished in the TJ and then didn't come back for 4 or 5 months. And he just felt that he got away from him a bit, that he was, as I say, such a great steward. It took a while to get him back, so... Unless Chris has changed his mind, he will go to Brisbane, race in the Doomsday 10,000, which is, I think, a month away, something like that, and then spell up there and then come back for the spring.
Is the Ascot Dream still alive at all? Maybe not this time round, but in future seasons, maybe next year?
I would think definitely, Joe. I know that the majority of shareholders who I'm involved with, the 75% of us, most of them are Kiwis, and do they love a party and love to travel? So I would say there'd be no doubt that we would love to go. If he's in this form next year and COVID's well and truly under control, we would definitely be going to Ascot, I would say, for sure.
Your thrill as an owner being associated with this horse, how does it compare to some of the other top liners in race?
Look, Joe, it's great to win a race anywhere, as you probably know, and Warren and the listeners who have got horses, but when you get a horse like this, it is just a dream. You really can't believe it. To win one Group One is fantastic, but to have a horse win 6, and he's so magnificently managed by Chris. You know, he just gives him a couple of runs. He looks after him. And he has said that there's no reason that this horse can't race at this level for at least another couple of years. And the thrill of seeing him, and hopefully I'll be there. Actually, I've already booked accommodation, etc., to go to Queensland. So hopefully that dream is still alive. But it's a wonderful thrill. You look forward to it all week, and leading up to this race, with all the chatter that was going around, it was almost like a boxing match, you know, where one fighter is sort of flagging off against the other fighter, and and Joe Pride was going on about how his horse was going to be the best sprinter in the world. And I knew deep down that if this horse turned up, I wasn't worried about any of them, Bivouac, Libertini, any of them. I knew that if he was back to his best, which we thought he was, you know, you see, your eyes don't lie. What you see is what you see.
Yeah. His backstory, interesting. He was passed in as a yearling, wasn't he? Unable to make the reserve there, bred by Golden Grove Stud.
That's correct. He was passed in. And then Robert Smurden bought it, and the majority share of the guy who bought it, like Robert took it, broke it in, and then the guy didn't come up with the money. So I've known Robert for a long time, and he rang me and he said, look, this horse has been broken in, goes terrific. Rod, I'll guarantee you'll get your money back. He said, I'm telling you, he's a gilt-edged investment, this horse. So I don't know how good he is, but I guarantee you he'll win a maiden. So we've got a hardcore in our gang. There's half a dozen of us, two Aussies and the rest of four Kiwis. So we said, OK, we'll take it. And that's how it came about. And if the guy had stamped up the money and paid, we wouldn't be in it. So it was meant to be.
I wonder how he's feeling this morning.
I wouldn't think he'd be feeling very happy, would he?
No. That's an amazing twist to the story there. Well, he's done more than win a maiden, hasn't he?
He certainly has. And I can remember that when he first got going, and young Michael Paul, who's turned out to be a wonderful rider, and I think he's going to be up there with the best of them in time, and we put him on at Mornington to have his first ride in a race, because I'm very good friends with Michael Poy's dad, Michael Clark. We've been mates for a long, long time. So we put him on for his first ride, and Michael sat, I think, four or five wide the whole way, and he won. And I remember Robert was training at the time. He said, well, it was a slaughter, but we got away with it. And you sort of knew from that day that the horse was above average, because even though it was a maiden at Mornington, to have won the race the way he did after such a torrid ride, he had above average ability.
Yeah. Okay, so onwards then, likely to the Brisbane Winter Carnival. He'd be a great addition there.
Well, it's going to be terrific. I really hope that's where he's going, because I go up there most years. My son lives up there, and grandkids and what have you. It's great to catch up with them, and it'll be a great thrill for them and a great thrill for us to be able to go for the races and see him perform well up there.
All right. Rod, thank you for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it. And, thoughts with you and your family at the moment at a difficult personal time. I do hope that everything works out all right there.
Thank you for your thoughts, Joe. I'll pass them on to my wife. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks for the call.
Great to catch up with Rod Lyons this morning, Warren. Interesting twist in the tale there of Nature Strip. The original potential owner unable to stump up the funds, and such was the luck that Rod and his team of owners managed to get hold of him and, well, as we said, do much more than win a maiden. He's now amassed $8 million in prize money.
Yeah, the twists and the tales of horse ownership, there's many stories like that, and on a very different level to Nature Strip. Rod might have a promising stayer as well, racing in his colours with Through Irish Eyes, running second in the Galilee Series final yesterday at Caulfield. So very different spectrum to the style of horse of Nature Strip, but something to look forward to over a bit more ground for the future.
Yeah. Indeed. So many highlights yesterday at Randwick, and of course that capped off what's been an extraordinary week in Sydney, Warren, with the English Easter yearling sales being conducted over 2 days. I had the privilege of being there at Riverside on Tuesday and Wednesday, Warren, and I'd have to say my many years in racing and attending yearling sales, I've never seen anything quite like what went on there. 22 horses selling for $1 million or more across the 48 hours.
Yeah, it's remarkable, isn't it? I mean, it's and look, it shows that there's confidence to invest in the industry. For your average Joe in the street, it doesn't necessarily, you know, mean anything, but it does show that there's the confidence at the top end to invest in the high level of bloodstock, and that is because they think that it's a they're going to get a return on that investment. So it's a vote of confidence in the industry overall, but it certainly flies well above a lot of your average racing audience, I suppose, Joe.
Yes, it does. In total, Warren, over $132 million worth of horse flesh was sold during the 2 days at what was a staggering clearance rate of 88%, which will continue to increase. And the average reached just over $371,000. So the 22 lots realising $1 million or more, Warren, were headed by a Thistle Rising Romance Colter selling for $2.5 million to Hawks Racing. The leading buyers of the sale were Coolmore and Partners. They spent a tick over $9.3 million with 9 purchases, and Tony Fung's investments were also very prominent, spending just over $7 million with 8 purchases. And Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott were also right up there on the buying bench. They and Partners took home most individual lots, with 15 horses going to their stable. And notably too, Warren, the last of the Reduce Choice yearling progeny sold. The best price of those was knocked down to Peter Moody and Tasman Bloodstock for $760,000 a filly, bringing an end to a record-breaking era for the Arrowfield Stallion.
Yeah, what an amazing career he has had. And I think it was quite emotional for John Massara and the team at Arrowfield. And while we're talking that, Jay, you've got an update for us on Written Tycoon.
Yes, well, Written Tycoon joined the roster at Arrowfield, didn't he, last season? He's had a staggering season on the racetrack, and his progeny selling for big bucks through the various yearling sales so far this year. But Written Tycoon, now a rising 19-year-old stallion, has been the source of wheeling and dealing behind the scenes in recent months, with Woodside Park's principal Mark Rosethorne deciding in recent weeks to sell his share in the champion Victorian stallion. He had a share of just over 27% in him. He sold out to the majority shareholder, Sharif Iskander, Warren, which gives Sharif now the whip hand in dealing with the future of the horse, which I am pretty confident won't be at Arrowfield. In fact, it's highly likely he will leave the roster and join another major New South Wales stud farm. Lots of rumours circulating there, or more than rumours, actually. I think a deal has more or less been done. There was some suggestion that he may return to the Victorian ranks, but I don't believe that that's the case. So interesting machinations there around Written Tycoon. Of course, being the age that he's uninsurable. So whomever takes the gamble and buys Sharif Iskander out, it is a high-risk investment.
Yes, well, watch this space. I'm sure that will evolve. And looking forward to chatting next week, Joe, following day two of the championships. Importantly, I'm glad you survived the turbulent seas around the Whitsundays and you've lived to tell the tale. Look forward to talking next week.
Thanks a lot, Warren.